Praise the Lord, my beloved ones. We reach in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to say that we are, excuse me, grateful. Grateful, and we count it a privilege that the Lord has blessed us to be able to meet you on another Palm Sunday. Not just our, as we say, our regular time for worship and praising the Lord together. This is Palm Sunday, a day where many use the, I'll say the phrase that Jesus was in the shadow of the cross. In other words, as he was approaching the time for his death on the cross, this was like the beginning where things really started coming together for that end to take place. We want to look at that a little bit and, well, just see what the Lord had us to say about this as we remember these events as they took place over 2,000 years ago. Let us look to the Lord in prayer before we even go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, we glorify you, Lord, and we're just glad that you bless us to be able to say a word today, Lord. We invoke the power and direction and guidance from your precious Holy Spirit as we give forth your word, Father. I pray that you would allow me even to be an instrument used in your hand, void of my pride and my ego and my vanity, Father, but just to give forth that which you would have to be given to feed your people, to feed your sheep. I'm praying, Lord, for your knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and praying, Lord, that you allow the words that come from our lips, Father, go forth over these airwaves, undistorted, knowing full well that yes, Satan may have, it may be present, the power of the air, but you're all powerful, and Lord, we know that you can. And we believe that you will allow your words to go forth to feed your sheep. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will let this take place as we go forth into your word. Lord, allow us to rightly divide it, that you'll please with what we say, how we say it. And we know then, Lord, that it's going to yield the fruit that you would have to yield. But this we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to read some scripture for you today. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 8th through the 11th verses in the New International Version. And we're going to be reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, 32nd through the 34th verses. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord as we start in the Gospel of Matthew, 21st chapter in the 8th verse. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Luke 23rd chapter, 32nd verse. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 32nd through the 34th verses. We have read that passage of scripture again, along with Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 8th through the 11th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, this is something. This is something. For as we just read those verses, and we picture Jesus on the cross, was it not just a few days earlier when we heard this, probably, I won't say the same people, but many of the same people shouting Hosanna to the Son of David? Saying, just a few days later, what in the world made things go south like that? Now we know that there were a number of things that took place when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. I would love to tell you that's what we're going to go into today, but we're not. We're not. Today we're gonna, yes, we're focusing on these two passages of scripture, but excuse me, but there's only a couple of things that I'm gonna pull from that. We know that we could spend much time there because even though it's only a couple of verses, oh, it's so rich, it's so rich. Okay. So we picture Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and we picture the crowd, bunch of folks, bunch of people. Okay, and they're just giving Jesus all of this praise, all of this pomp and circumstances, they say. Oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, praise God. And they're doing all this. I could just see them all around Jesus as he's on the donkey, going through the streets, throwing their palms before him, just praising. But I want you to listen also what it says in a when the question goes out, not only were they saying Hosanna to the Son of David. See, now, I want you to get this. He's, they like claiming him, as one of our people. That's why my distant cousin, he's from the line of David. That's my, great great cousin, and that's my cousin's friend or my friend's cousin, and all they just claim him as part of the clan and. One of their own, they just say, "Yeah, here he is," but why all the pomp and circumstance? You've had people come to the city before, yeah, but he is one who comes in the name of the Lord. Did y'all get that? He comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, he's coming as a representative of God. A representative. Y'all are saying to yourself, wait a minute. He's coming as a representative? Isn't that almost like saying the president is a representative of the government or of the. Is he not the. Yeah, this is getting to be a, well, anyway, I've read, you're saying I've read that many times, but that part never dawned on me. Okay. He's the son of David. He's a representative of the Lord. Now they want to say they keep giving him respect, but it's almost like the old saying, they give him left-handed respect because he is the Lord. But they, it's just like today. Some of us have, I gotta say this. Some of us who are in ministry now, a lot of folks like to say, yeah, Reverend this or Pastor this or Elder. They want to throw titles on us. But for those who really, especially those who are of a different faith, a different denomination, and they may not agree, with Christians, but they want to give some type of acknowledgement, so they will just simply call you Mister. Just like President of the United States, it is proper to call him President, Mr. President, or just Mister. All of that is acceptable. So here they are, they're saying, yes, this is the son of David. Okay. He comes in the name of the Lord. And when they continue to further ask who he was, he said, listen, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So yes, we're giving him all of this pomp and circumstance because he is the prophet from Galilee. I want you to understand that there were other prophets in the land, not true prophets, not all of them. There were some. Y'all read about some of them. Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah. There were many prophets in times. I'm not saying necessarily at that time, but the people were familiar with prophets. But this is one. What makes him say he comes in the name of the Lord, not a Lord, the Lord. Like I said, left-handed compliment. Okay. So he is the prophet from Nazareth. So we got that. All right, we got that. We got that. He's the prophet. So, yes, all of this pompous circumstance is going on. Well, after Jesus had been in the city, made his presence known, some of the things we read about, going in there and casting out the people from doing underhanded business in the church. The church was supposed to be a house of prayer here. They come in there with putting their thumbs on the scale and they're weighing people's goods and cheating people and all. No, you can't be doing all of this in my father's house. Cleared them out. Women going around and using divination and trying to call herself predicting what's going on in people's life. And all, no, he's stopping it. He's messing with people's money. We know how folks are about that. These vendors, these people going around, bamboozling people with all kinds of stuff. So Jesus said, nah, one, it's not going to happen in my father's house. Well, he made a bunch of enemies when he did that. And a lot of people say this was part of the beginning of his downfall. That's what is popularly taught. But we're going on. We're going on. And I'm not going to be before you long. I don't intend to be. Okay. So, like I said, we're going from all of the pomp and circumstance. Now the scene shifts. The scene shifts. And now we see Jesus hanging on the cross. You say, whoa, you go from them, from coming into Jerusalem and everybody's singing his praise, and now he's on the cross. Yes, and a lot of things transpired in between that. And I'm saying a lot of things, but remember, it wasn't a lot of days. These things happened in a matter of a few days. Several days, these things took place. And you're saying, wow, people change that quick. Oh yes, their perception of you, I'll say expectations for you and of you change like the weather. Change like the weather. Okay, so here, this is what we got. The scene shifts again. This is what we got. The people knew that Jesus was from the lineage of David. Okay, they got that. And they also be understood in their minds that he comes in the name of the Lord. Now, we can say, well, wait a minute, we know him as Lord, but I understand what they're saying. He's not coming in the name of one of these false prophets, these false gods, these false idols that everybody been worshiping. He's coming in the name of the Lord. He's true. That's what some people are saying. You can take it this way, and that's a good way to take that. That's what they're saying. He's coming in the name of the Lord. He's coming in the name of Jehovah. He's coming in the name of Adonai. He's coming in the name of Elohim. He's coming in the names of the true God. He's coming in the name of the I am. And then this can go on and on and on. So that's who he's coming. And that name representing that God, the Lord. So we all right with that. So there are a lot of people that's saying that, and there's a lot of people, of course, who's taking it the wrong way. Such is life. I want you to get that understanding that that's what's going on. So you got that. So we got some believing that, okay, knowing that he's from the lineage of David. Some saying that he's from as a representative of the true God. And then we said that, so he's some say he's a prophet from Nazareth. People, don't you know that people are always fascinated when somebody can come and tell them what's going to happen? This is going to happen. They were fascinated, always fascinated with prophets. People who had the gift to be able to tell them what's going to happen in the future. That fascinated them. So he said, okay. Again, this brings us to our subject for the day. They didn't have a clue. That's our subject. They didn't have a clue. Some, yes, might have had the audacity to say, oh, that's Joseph's boy. He's grown up there. I don't know. But we see who their perception of who he is. We see it's a mixed bag of perceptions. Because you got a mixed bag of people. People from different walks of life who believe different things. Everybody, like we know today, everybody in the world is not following Jesus Christ. Nor was it like that then. Right there, everybody there was not a true believer. So this is what you got going on. Okay, stay with me, beloved, because I'm just about finished already. There is one other passage of scripture that I want to read in your hearing. Very familiar passage of scripture. I want you to hear this. Coming from John, the third chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses, as it is written in the King James Version. Now watch this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch this. I know y'all caught that. As the Son of Man be lifted up, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Like I said, We see the perceptions of who the crowd said Jesus was. We see the perceptions of who the crowd said Jesus was, a prophet, a representative of the Lord. But nobody knew that he was more than just a son of David, more than somebody who came through the line of David. But if they would have examined it a little bit more, they would have realized that Jesus was more than a son. He was indeed the son of man. You see that he's a representative of the Lord, you would have realized that he's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And yes, he may be of the lineage of David because he came through a woman like you and I did, with the exception that the woman that the Lord used, that vessel that the Lord used, had never been touched by a man. She did not come here before because she had relations with a man, sexual relations. No. The Lord used Mary as the vessel so that Jesus could come through and say that, yes, I can, when you come to me, I can empathize with you because I know what it's like to come up and to be hungry, to be dependent on somebody else to take care of you. I know what it's like to grow up from a baby, from an infant, to go through the things that you go through, puberty and all of that stuff. I could talk to you about that. Being cold, being hungry, feeling envy, feeling jealousy, to be tempted, to be, I can tell you about all of that because I experienced that. But at the same token, I'm letting you know that I did all of that without sinning. That's what Jesus can say. So what they didn't realize who Jesus really is. In other words, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue who Jesus really was. Now the scene shifts back. I'm having the scene shift back. I'm about finished, beloved. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross now, as we had stated earlier, yes, the scene started with Jesus on his way to the cross. Well, he's there. And to get to that cross, Jesus went through a whole lot. Not just as we see him as an adult in his public ministry, teaching folks, healing folks, putting up with all types of hecklers and antagonist, you name it. Jesus went through it for people who did not receive his teaching, they did not receive him or his ministry. He went through all of that. And some of y'all are saying, well, yeah, well, I go through that now. I preach messages and seem like nobody's receiving it. And well, this is what Jesus, he went through all of that. It's nice to read about how Jesus preached to multitudes of folks, but it's also nice to read where Jesus also gave sermons to individuals, like Nicodemus, for one. Maybe two people. Jesus showed us you minister to whomever ministering needs to be done to, whether it's one or 100 or 100,000. You preach. You teach. This is what you do. Jesus didn't just teach these things, preach these things. He lived these things. He showed us. Okay? And this is what he did. But yet, we find him hanging on a cross. For many of us, even though it's a sad state of affairs, we realize that Jesus came to do this. For as we just read in the scripture, okay, God the Father loved us. Loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us because we could never, never come before God the Father in these sinful vessels of ours. God is perfect and he cannot be in the presence of sin. And there was no one in earth, nor anyone else in heaven who's able to wash away our sin except Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who came from the very essence, the very being of God, not created like the angels were. No. But he came from God. That's what makes him the only begotten Son of God. You read in the scriptures of others who refer to as sons of God, most of them being angels. But there was only one begotten Son, and that's Jesus. And this is who the people cried out to crucify. Oh, they were in order when they were praising him. They were in prison for the completely right reason or total reason. But Jesus is to be praised, for he is the Savior. He is the Savior of the whole world. And letting you know that, yes, I may be the Savior of the whole world, Jesus said, but I need to be your Savior. This is a personal thing. So personal that you must be born again for this to take place. The people didn't have a clue who Jesus was. They had the opportunity that even though he had been arrested, even though he had been through the old kangaroo courts, found guilty of things he did not even do, they still had a chance to have a true known criminal, one who's already on death row. He could take Jesus' place, but no. No, they said, crucify Jesus. Oh, beloved, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue who Jesus was among them. They had no clue. I'm saying this today, beloved. We know who Jesus is. Those of you who are still playing the whole church thing, you know who Jesus is. Those of you who simply look at Jesus as a powerful prophet, you know who Jesus is. For those of you who still clinging to the realization in your minds that Jesus is just a representative of God, you know who Jesus really is. For those who have been so disillusioned, for those who may not have even been exposed to Jesus before, now you know. Now you know. I'm gonna say this to you, beloved, and I'm finished. They didn't have a clue. Back then, they thought that they would just crucify a regular, or it's just another so-called prophet. That's the feelings of many. Some knew, and some didn't know until Jesus was actually on that cross, who he really was. They knew. But despite the fact of what they knew, you know now. You know now. So I'm saying this as I conclude. They didn't have a clue, but you do. You know who Jesus is, and you know that the only way to get from earth to glory is through Jesus. Now, don't worry about those folks say, well, there's only one way to get to Jesus. They got it partly correct. Yes, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus. But you can get to Jesus through your addiction. You can get to Jesus through your fornicating ways. You can get to Jesus, through your alcohol, through your drugs. You can get to Jesus through being a thief, being someone who has killed. Maybe you are a murderer. You can come to Jesus through all of that. You don't have to worry about, well, I got to get myself together. I got to stop doing this. I have to stop doing that. Come, Jesus is saying, come to me just as you are. Allow me to meet you right where you are. You can get to me. I'm reachable, Jesus is saying. I don't care if you may be in the gutter right now. I don't care if you're talking to me with a needle right there hiding it behind your back like I can't see it. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Come to me. I don't care if you don't smell great. Come to me. I don't care if you got new clothes, old clothes, no clothes. Come to me. They may not have had a clue who Jesus was, but you do. And he's telling you, whosoever will, let him come. Come on. Don't let the devil fool you to think you got to get yourself together. You can't. If you could get yourself together, you would have done it already. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You need to have my precious Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And that's what Jesus will do. That's what he will do. He will have his precious Holy Spirit dwell within you the moment you become saved. The moment you become saved. Yes, they didn't have a clue. But you do. May God bless you. Have a smile upon you. I hope and pray that you take the opportunity to accept the Lord as your Savior, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, right now, from your heart. If you do that from your heart, I'm here to let you know that you just became part of the body of Christ. If you accepted the Lord, asked him to come into your heart to save your soul, I can say to you, welcome, my sister. Welcome, my brother, to the family. That's all it took. You say, well, that's all it took. I didn't have to do this. It was nothing for you to do but receive it. It was already done on that very cross that we mentioned. Jesus paid it all. He paid for all of our sins. Paid in full. Jesus did that. All you had to do is receive it. When you go to a restaurant and ask for a certain meal, all you have to do is eat And say you have to go back there and cook it, catch it, prepare it. All you have to do is eat it. Jesus said, taste of me, see that I'm good. He's already prepared everything. All you have to do is receive it. God bless you, beloved. May heaven smile upon you. They didn't have a clue, but you do.